Thank you once again for joining us for the second hour of the program. It is really our delight. You know, Gary, you and I began this program some 17 years ago, basically because I called you up and I had a problem. I had a question about my computer service and through your internet service provider.
And since then, we have learned so much.
Yep.
Usually because we've had to solve the problems we've gotten ourselves into, right?
Absolutely.
And then we had to get ourselves out.
But the part about that was that it really caught on like wildfire back in 1998. And people, this is one of the unique places you can go locally here in Southeast Michigan and throughout this area in the Midwest and ask a question. So we want you to do that, please. If you have a question about your computer, anything you've got, we've got a great group in studio here, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, and also Michael Rometty. Michael is the frugal computer guy. Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Foster. And I'll mention that in my videos, I edit those because I can add all the uhs and ums here live. I'm not as good.
That's quite all right. That's
but thanks for having me.
Mike does
and
a lot of great stuff with free software, thefrugalcomputerguy.com. Look at our website to find out more about
and
that.
And I also want to mention that it's free for home users. Most of it's free for anyone, but some of that is free for home users only, like that EASIS backups. That's only free for home users.
Okay, and if you're going to be using a commercial situation, it is different. Yeah. Thanks so much. Okay, let's get out to our phone lines. And again, our number, 800-859-0957. And Tom from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Yeah, guys, I really enjoy your show, and I finally got something to ask you guys about.
All right.
Great.
Well, you know, I use Chrome, and I use Internet Explorer.
Okay.
And one day, I was using Chrome, and I couldn't get on the Internet. It said something about my proxy server wasn't available or wasn't connecting to the Internet. So, I sort of forgot about using Chrome for a while, and I was just using Internet Explorer. Then one day I decided to use the free anti-malware service,
mm-hmm.
and I used it, and then I couldn't get on Internet Explorer. It said the same thing. Your proxy server isn't available or isn't working.
Well,
and,
I mean...
I couldn't figure out what was going on,
right.
And I called Comcast, which I have, and they kept refreshing my signal, and that wasn't working. And then they gave me the real tech guys, and he walked me through where I was able to set them up again. But he really didn't want to answer any questions, so. I got them both working now, but
okay.
I've been, you know, using computers for 20 years.
Sure.
I never knew anything about a proxy server.
Okay.
Well, I mean, a proxy server is what we use in corporations where it is basically a firewall or an address of a server that is between the corporation and the true Internet. So for home users, you usually never have a proxy server unless... You have, I think Norton 360 may actually put a software-based, proxy server in there so that any internet traffic through your browser has to go through their software proxy server. And basically it's pointing to a program. But I can't say that for sure.
Well, you know, the other thing that's possible is that you may have a proxy server running in your router at your house as well. And sometimes I found just a simple reset of the router can sometimes clear up that issue as well. But within Google Chrome, at least on the Mac, if you go into settings and then you go further down into settings to advanced settings, you'll see a button in there that says change proxy settings. And those proxy settings are predicated on the settings that you have within your operating system. For example, in the case of my Mac, it goes into the settings for proxies within my network settings on the computer itself and looks for that particular proxy to be able to use.
Yeah, but usually on a home computer, there's no proxies whatsoever.
Usually.
And what you may want to do is, like as Cal says, he gave you a description of how to find it in Google Chrome. In Internet Explorer, you select Tools, Internet Options, and then go to the Connections tab, and then there's a LAN settings button. Now, you're probably not sitting in front of a computer, but what you want to do is document what's there. And you should not have any proxy settings there. So maybe that's what Comcast did, was disable anything that was put there. Because you could have malicious software that's installed on your computer.
Oh, yeah.
And it would then direct you to an internet site where all internet traffic is going to a malicious website, right? And, you know, before you actually go to the internet.
Isn't it in essence what malware does is it creates a proxy? It sends you somewhere else than you want to go.
Well, no.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Okay. This works different.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, you bring up a good point. If you did have malware and it did set up a proxy, it would send all of your traffic to the proxy and then out. You wouldn't really notice.
Unless it was down.
It was being redirected unless that proxy was down or unless it just created so much latency. And
right.
You kind of go, why is this slow? Well, because they've redirected you through a proxy. And by the way, they harvest everything you do.
Right. One of the things you can do is and it's, you said you did this, but if you downloaded Malwarebytes and scan, it should detect that. And then also CCleaner is a program that you could use to download and it'll scour your computer and reset those and try to locate software like this. Hold on the line. Don't hang up. I want to hear more about this.
Yes.
All right. We're going to put you on hold and get back to you in just a moment. Carol from Rockwood, Michigan, will be with you in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. By the way, thanks very much to Annie Nichols and to Rich Luzinski, the folks behind the glass who make the program work. They are the people who are spinning the dials back there. Our number again, 800-859-0957. And that is the number you call that will get you in touch with us. And remember, our mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And by the way, you may have heard us, some of you, I was just kind of like, I was watching a ping pong match here as Mike Rometty, who is the frugal computer guy, is visiting with us now. And Eddie, we're talking about Linux, you know, kind of watching it go back and forth. And during the break, you were showing me some of it. It's fascinating.
Well, I'm a newbie and he's had experience, so he was enlightening me.
I was going to say, but we have folks out there. If you have a question about Linux, Mike, he's got some answers for you here. We're going to help shed some light on that.
Yeah.
This will be a time to ask. Okay, very good.
It's
all right.
Like geek world all over again.
I know.
I think I'm the expert on Linux just because I know more than you guys.
I don't know
if I'm really an expert.
That's how we establish people being experts around here.
Okay, great.
That's how we got to be experts.
All right.
We're 800. Only one step ahead of everybody else.
800-859-0957. Okay, Carol from Rockwood, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Yeah, how do I close my eBay account if I can't log into it?
Mm.
Well, have you just tried resetting the password using their ability for them to email you a temporary password? If when you set up an eBay account, you have to specify a valid email account, and it likewise, if you want to reset your password, you go to the eBay's website. There's an option there that says I forgot my password. They then email you the new password to that email account, unless your account has been hijacked, in which case then they more than likely change the password and change the destination email account. So
I did do that, and they never sent anything back to me.
So more than likely what's happened is, are you sure that your eBay account was registered to one of your valid email addresses?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, now, I haven't used it for over 5 years, so does it automatically shut down?
You know what? Mine did. Because of that scare we had last week where they said eBay basically said they lost all their site was hacked. Usernames and passwords were collected, but they're encrypted, and they don't think anyone's going to be able to crack them, but in time, they may. So eBay sent out a note that basically said everyone should go out there and change their passwords. I attempted to. It would not allow me in.
Because
I know my IDs and passwords were valid. So what I did is I went to PayPal. That's the money portion of it. And I went to PayPal, and that did accept my ID and password, and I changed my password there.
I closed PayPal because I was afraid that they would go through PayPal.
Cal, you going to say something?
If you Google how do I shut down my eBay account, it will take you to an eBay page that has all the information you need on how to shut down the account.
Okay.
Thanks, Cal.
Because all right, real good. Thank you.
I got to double check mine as well because I know my IDs and passwords were valid, but over time, you know, like my AAA, I mean, I used to love road trips.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, and in 1998, I set up an account where I'd do road trips. Well, who needs that with Google? Well, every once in a while, I want that printed map. I just, the road trips on AAA were just great. You just flip
through them.
And they show you.
The triptychs.
The triptychs. I went there 8 years later, and I'll be damned if they didn't. How dare they delete my ID and password because I haven't used it in 8 years? You know, I was bummed.
A lot of times what they'll do is they'll just disable it and make you just create a new one if it's been that long.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't.
Just a tick of the clock in old man years.
All right. Let's go back out and say hello to, let's see, Edie, who is with us from White Lake. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Edie. How can we help?
Thank you very much. Well, I'd like one of you to come and live with me for at least 6 months because I have no idea what I'm doing most of the time.
What is your specialty that you cook or bake?
I'm an ex-cook and baker, and my lasagna is world famous.
It may be all over but the shouting.
Well, it looks like I'm going to be going to www.garlicbread.com. What's your problem, computer-wise, and we'll deal with the food later.
Okay. I was wondering, I noticed that the price has come down significantly on getting the internet through a dish. And mm-hmm. I was wondering if you guys have any exposure or anybody who, is it just as good? Is it worse? Will I be sorry if I dump my cable company and go, you know, if I try that?
Yeah, okay.
Here's the magic to doing it over a dish. While they can give you fast download speeds because mm-hmm. they're pulling it off the dish and bringing it down to you, the upload speeds don't work as fast because they normally run it back upload via a telephone line.
And very often an ADSL.
Or DSL.
Or DSL. If uploading is not important for you, then, a dish might be a way to go with it, but are you really getting that bad of service over your cable, or are they charging you that much that you really want to go with having, you know, a dish on your roof that gets affected by weather?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm mad at them because I gave them $50 for them to help my daughter solve a computer problem, and they never helped her, and they wouldn't give me my $50 back, of course.
Mm.
And I'm just mad at them on general principles. And I have one question. Sure. What is upload?
What is what, please?
Upload.
Oh,
I know what download is.
Upload is when, for instance, you're sending an email to somebody. You're sending a picture to somebody. In other words, it's data that you're sending from you out through the internet.
I was posting to YouTube this morning, and that's an upload to YouTube.
Anytime
you take computer data and you send it from your computer to somewhere up into the internet, that's called uploading. If you're getting data coming from the internet to your computer, that's downloading.
Yep. And sometimes it's not as obvious, like when you use Skype or instant messaging and you enable the video features on that. The video features through Skype are uploaded and downloaded simultaneously, and that's a lot of information.
Well, let me ask you this other question. On that service that company provided to you, how did you pay for it?
It was through a credit card, but this was before Christmas. This was a while back.
Doesn't matter. What I'm going to suggest you to do is go to your credit card company and say, I want to contest that charge that they did because they didn't resolve it for me. And then the credit card company will go back to that company and say, you either resolve this issue or else you refund the money back to the people and you'll get that charge taken off your bill.
Okay.
And that is the value, by the way, and you said it all along, Cal, using a credit card, you do have that kind of a fail-safe. And
and I understand that, and it's too bad I didn't think of that at the time. I wasn't.
It's not too late.
Yeah, it's not too late yet.
You could still do that.
Yeah.
I'll have to check and see whether it was my credit card or a debit card, what I used. But,
and then the other thing I'd like to suggest to you, if you don't want to go with cable and you're looking at other alternatives, you can also look at AT&T's UVerse system and see whether or not that might be a choice you want to go with as well. Like I said, the only thing with the satellite service is that being living in Michigan, weather can be an issue, especially when it's snowing. If the dish gets too much snow on it, it can block your signal. Right. If it gets too much of the wrong type of rain, it can block your signal.
Am I right? The trees can also...
Anything that can get in the line of sight of that satellite could potentially block the signal.
Right.
Yeah, and the only people I know that use Dish are people that don't have any other options.
Alternative, right, yeah. Very often people living in rural areas aren't well served by cable. You know, you are caught in the dilemma that so many of us are, that we are really unhappy with the quality of the service that we're getting through our cable providers, and we're very much at mercy. On our homepage, internetadvisor.net, there's a little box down towards the bottom called Net Neutrality. If you look into that, part of that issue that's out there right now is the whole battle about how we are connecting to the internet and who controls that connection. And if you want to, you know, kind of inform yourself a little bit more about that, that might be good for you to do as well, because this is going to become, I think, a national issue and have a lot more teeth in it, I think, than it's had in the past. So I just suggest that you take a look at that as well, okay?
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Our number again, 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. And Bill out in Mabee, Michigan, and Lee, or rather Les, in Lincoln Park, we've got your number, and we'll be with you in just a little bit to help you answer some questions. Folks, I want to thank Mike Rometty for being with us. Mike, just a reminder for people, The Frugal Computer Guy is your website. And when people go there, they can find all sorts of free software that you recommend for different kinds of things, right?
And not only free software, but how to use it are my
and
tutorials.
That's the important
There's
part.
There's lots of places that tell you about free software.
Exactly. I was going to say that. Your video tutorials, which are on YouTube, are excellent. And they'll help people out there, folks, you are listening, help you to use some of that free software, like, for instance, LibreOffice.
LibreOffice. Yeah. And I'll also mention that I've got parts that you can download. Like before some of the videos, I'll have a starter thing that you can download it and then work along with the video.
I love it. Really wonderful. Great job on this.
Yeah. And it's all free.
Yeah, it's all free. And Mike was somebody, one of our listeners for many years who got in touch with us. And I'm so glad that you came in and with your wife, Milja, and Juliana, who was there as well. Nice having you guys with us in studio here.
You know, I understand that Fidel Castro likes to use that LibreOffice. Matter of fact, they call it Cuba Libre.
Cuba Libre. Bring the lime. Put the
Where's
lime
the rim shot? Coconut.
Yeah. We need a rim shot. Okay, let's go to Bill from Mabee. Save us from the bad jokes. Hi there, Bill.
How you doing?
Very well. How can we help you?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Okay, I'm going to try to make it short. I had running a desktop, okay, and I had Windows XP on there. I got a remote desktop, okay, user come on there, so that messed up my computer. So I went and got a refurbished one from a real nice guy. I'm running Windows 7 on it, okay? So anyway, I bring it on home. This thing's running great, man, okay? No problem. All I do on this computer is strictly go to my forums, you know, my car forums, YouTube, okay, Google, some search things.
Sure.
Okay, that's all I use this computer for, okay? And anyway, I got a Nano iPod, okay? So I went and I wanted to load down some Neil Young songs on there, okay?
Okay.
He's the only thing that seems to help me out nowadays. Anyway,
okay.
I love the guy.
I'm on tender hooks. Tell me what's happening. I'm waiting for the exciting conclusion.
Okay. Anyway, so I don't like to download things. I'm really nervous about it because...
I see.
Anyway, so I went on Apple.com, I think it was, for my iTunes, okay? And I wanted to set up an account, okay? And I went on YouTube and I went on some Google forms and just to make sure I was doing the right things, okay? I was on the right track. And everybody's, all the things, www.apple.com or whatever it was.
Okay.
So I loaded that on there, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, somehow, I think it's they call it a remote desktop, okay? It has overtaken my computer again, okay? I mean, I've got this software on there. It's called Krapapolis Ski or something of that nature. The guy that sold me the computer said, this is pretty good, and I paid for it and everything like this.
Oh.
He knocked down one of my firewalls, okay?
Okay, hang on. Back up just a second, just to clarify some things. So when you were on the internet, you got a service from somebody to clean up your computer?
No, I downloaded.
Okay.
I went to the iTunes store, okay?
Yeah, okay, right.
Okay.
I downloaded their stuff.
Okay, but one of the things you said is that you have Kaspersky antivirus on there. I believe you said that.
Okay.
And for some reason, you're getting a remote window that comes up that says, How do you know that you're getting a window that comes up, remote computing?
Okay. The reason I went to Capascus is he's a Polish compadre. I'm Polish as well, too. Okay, so I figured he's going to be good. Anyway, now they changed it to, it was at running Windows 7. Now it's at Windows Vista Premium, okay?
Right.
I can't get on the internet, okay? I went in there, and I'm not too computer savvy, okay? I'm a good technician and everything, but okay. It's more of a challenge for me, okay? I'm digging this guy out. They hide themselves in emoticons, even the printers, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, okay. Now, hang on. Let's just gear down for a second, because we want to see if we can sort some of this out and pick through some things here.
Is there a question?
Basically, what's the question right now? Are you having difficulty getting on the internet right now?
I cannot get on the internet.
Okay.
But a couple of things you did say you did do is you got this new computer or refurbished. It came with Kaspersky antivirus. You successfully downloaded, went to Apple's website, and you download the iTunes mm-hmm. for your computer. Mm-hmm. And then how long after that until your computer stopped working?
Right at that time. I mean, I was able to purchase a few songs, okay, my Neil Young songs.
Good.
I got you. Okay. Good for Neil. Okay. Neil's?
It seems like at that time when I downloaded all that stuff, that's when everything started to happen. And I noticed one of my firewalls is down, okay? And I found out
Hang on. Okay. Take a breath. Deep breath.
Okay.
Deep breath. Cleansing breath.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
It sounds... it sounds like... I tell you, got an entire show here. All right. So... It sounds, Ed, like in the process of doing some of that downloading, from a legitimate site, right. He may have also tapped into something else.
Well, if he just downloaded Apple iTunes and then he downloaded successfully a couple songs, great. But, I mean, I want to make sure, have you tried rebooting your computer? And then how are you getting access to the internet? Is someone in the household paying for internet access right now? Is it through your cable?
It's through Frontier, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
So and now when I'm downloading iTunes, okay, I do that, and then there's another window that prompts up and a pop-up window that says it's another kind of download, okay?
Okay.
But it's warning me that hey, this thing the pop-up says that this might be harmful for your computer, okay? So I kind of ignored it a few times, but yeah.
Okay.
It does sound like. Go ahead.
Okay. How long ago did this happen?
Probably about almost a week ago.
Well,
okay.
One of the things you can do, because mm-hmm. you've downloaded a song through iTunes, mm-hmm. you said you're running Windows 7, and Mike has a great tutorial on this, but it's one of the things that we recommend, is you can actually perform a Windows 7 system restore. And think of it as a Wayback Machine. You could tell Windows...
I tried to.
And...
Okay, wait a minute. Now I was running Windows 7. Now I'm somehow they've loaded Windows Vista Premium on there. Okay.
Not okay.
No, that's not okay.
Yeah,
that
doesn't.
I mean, well, this I was is, running one. Okay. That's what happened. I was running 7, and now I'm not running 7. It says Windows Vista Premium.
No, you know what? It sounds like, Bill, we've got a number of things that are getting tangled up here. Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold.
Well,
okay?
We're not going to be able to do this.
Right
on the show, and you may have to take it to a professional.
Right,
you may have to take it to the store.
Okay.
And that's the idea is that there's a lot of different things to sort out here. So,
yeah.
Ed, your suggestion is that taking it to a professional to kind of sort through these individual elements might help as well.
Right,
and I think that's what we're going to suggest to you. Okay, Bill, thanks for calling. It's hard to sort through some of these things. So I think especially when you get kind of confused in the midst of the whole of this thing.
Well, and he's doing exactly what I would have done if I would have taken my car to an automobile repair tech or
mechanic.
Thank you. Is that I would have described, this is what it's doing. It's making this sound, and this is what I was doing before and after. And but basically what's happening is now he bought a refurbished computer. It came with Windows 7. It appears to be running Vista right now.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
You know, he probably reset it to factory settings. It had Vista on it.
That might be it.
And
that's going
everything.
Backwards.
Yeah,
right, you're right, Mike.
A partition with Vista on it.
Yep.
Exactly. So
yep.
He reset it to factory settings. It went back to Vista.
Yep.
That's a very good point.
So he's going to have to take it back to the store that he purchased it from. Possibly, and maybe they could fix it up for him. Because there's a valid Windows 7 license that they applied to that machine, and they could give it back to him.
Right.
Because more than likely, they did not give him the Windows 7 CD.
Doesn't sound like it
at all. So, very good, Mike. Thank you. That's probably
Thanks,
what
Thanks, Mike. That was a very good insight. Okay, let's go out to Lee in Lincoln Park. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you? Hello, Lee. I tell you what, we're going to put it on hold just in case and let Annie check and see if Les is there. He had an interesting question. It was about translation programs from English to Hungarian.
You might be able to get him back now.
Let's see. Is he there, Annie? No, it doesn't sound like it. Les, if you're out there, you're going to give us a call back. Please do that. And because I'm fascinated to find out about this translation program.
And what number does he call?
He would call 800-859-0957. Thank you, Eddie. 800-859-0957. Translation software is really fascinating. During the break, we were talking about this. Google has now got it then.
Well, actually, Google Translate has been around for quite some time, and it's getting better and better all the time. It was interesting because last week we talked about World Lens.
Yes,
that's right. World Lens. That was
Was a way to take a photograph with your smartphone.
Right.
Take a photograph of a sign or something, and it would automatically translate into a different language. And you could go, for many different languages to other different languages. Interesting. Tech Republic, which I use a lot, mostly for because they have great information about business software as well. Three days ago came out with their top five translator apps. And so Google Translate's number one. And that's not too hard to believe that that would be. iTranslate is another one.
Right.
Translate Me. Ask Ziggy. Haven't tried that one yet. And Online-Translator. But it's really neat because you can speak in English into it, and it'll turn around and speak out in Spanish or any other language that you like.
Satya Nadella, the new head of Microsoft, in a demonstration recently in a coding event, demonstrated Microsoft's new software was translating immediately. Let me thank our folks in studio here, Gary, Ed, and Cal, and once again, Mike Rometty, thanks for being with us. And to your wife, Milvia, and Juliana, thank you very much for joining us here. Yes. By the way, that's the Frugal Computer Guy. Don't forget, you can find that. And he has not only links to a lot of good free software, but great tutorials on YouTube that will help you as well. Let's see. One of the other things I was going to say. Oh, Cal, thank you very much for posting. Cal's posted a little thing that we put up there on our homepage under the program notes, show notes, rather, about his predictions for WWDC 2014. That's the Worldwide Developers Conference coming up, Apple's big show.
Now, just remember, I used my crystal ball, which is very, very cloudy.
All right. We got time for a couple more calls. 800-859-0957. And, we've got Les. Hi, Les. Welcome.
Well, finally. I was the wonders of cellular disconnect.
Uh-oh, dear. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm on the internet right now.
So. Good.
Oh, good.
How can we help you?
Well, I would like to be able to do emails to Hungary in Europe and be able to dictate into the computer and also translate from English to Hungarian and back and forth in Hungarian to English.
That is fascinating. Yeah. Now, we have some software that Gary just spoke about just before we went into the break.
I missed it.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Just in the last few days, Tech Republic came out with their top five. And Google Translate has been around for quite some time, and it's getting better and better and better. So they list that as the number one translation software. It's free. Now, I don't know if they translate in Hungarian, so we'll have to find out.
Yeah, but it isn't Google Translate written text to written text.
It is written text to written text.
Okay.
So if you when my son Justin was putting together his Eagle Scout project and he was conversing with Eagle Scouts in Guatemala, or not Eagle Scouts, but Boy Scouts in Guatemala, because his goal was to put solar energy systems into Mayan Indian village homes.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about
And he used Google Translate, and it worked great until we got down there, and they all thought he could speak really really good Spanish, and he was having trouble. It was great when he just conversed via email, and that worked really well. I do not know if it works in Hungarian.
No, I just wanted to clarify, Lee, Did you specify that you want to do spoken word translation or written?
I want to be able to, yes, dictate to the computer.
That's okay. What I thought.
Yes,
okay.
I'm a two-finger typist, and it would take me forever.
Well, that, I'm okay. Up to four fingers myself, so I'm not that far advanced.
You can use Google, I think, for that.
iVoice
is what I've used in the past.
Oh, iVoice?
For spoken language.
Oh, really? You dictate to it?
And you can dictate to it.
I'm trying to think about this.
Jibigo is also something that you can use.
Now,
J-I-B-B-I-G-O.
Now, I want to confirm, those are smartphone applications.
These are smartphone applications.
Okay, so Lee, have you got a smartphone?
Do those work for more than just a few phrases? If you want to do like a long mail, like he says an email, so how much can those services handle? Just a sentence or two?
Well, what I do is I usually take do a sentence or two, make sure that it's translating anywhere near accurately, and then do another few sentences and so forth. So I do that with Siri, though, because Siri's even worse than
Chances.
Okay, what
is the first one that you mentioned?
I would try Google, but iVoice is the one that I've used in the past.
Yeah, but you have to have an iPhone to use that.
You need an iPhone. I think
it doesn't work with the Android?
I think it does now work with Android.
So, good. That was my question.
I think it does.
So you do have a smartphone device. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of these actually, like iTranslate, is both voice and written. I know, Ed, just last week we were looking at Word Lens, but that's a photograph. You take a photograph of a sign or something, and then that'll translate.
Right.
Right?
Well, it provided real time. You just point the camera at it in real time, and it would accept the motion.
It was right. It was real time. Yes.
Now, by the way, Les, I was just looking at Gary mentioned Jibigo, J I B B I G O. That is, you can get that on Google Play, which means it's Android, as well as through the Apple Store, which means it's iOS. So, if you have an Android device, you can use that for. Oh, shoot. I don't see Hungarian in there. English, Spanish, French, Italian, German, Chinese, Thai, Filipino, Pashto.
Oh, you know, iTranslate is supported under Android, and it supports Hungarian.
Oh, good. And is that dictate, Eddie?
It's dictation, yes.
Yeah. And that's iTranslate. Another one that I've used.
Okay. And how do you
but not for Hungarian.
Do you use it in your how do you use it? To give Les an idea of how to use it, Gary.
I just speak into it and then you just say, you know, you stop it and it immediately speaks out in the other language.
I got you. Okay. Would it be able, for instance, can you dictate to it and then would come out in text?
I never tried it for that. So we'd have to try it for that as well. I think so. Google Translate, I believe you can speak into it.
What about, is he using it on a phone or is he using it on a computer? Because he said something about sending email.
Yeah, Google Translate, you can't speak into it.
And it will create text.
Okay,
then you could copy that and paste it into his email.
That's right. That's what I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
What about Dragon? Couldn't he just get Dragon? Does Dragon translate?
But that's that's like 7 cents. That's a huge, expensive program.
Well, he never said he wasn't willing to spend the money.
These are all free that we're talking about. there's a little difference cost between free.
Free is good.
Yeah, this actually, you can speak or paste text into the translation engine for Google Translate.
Oh, excellent. That's good.
Excellent. That's the one. Okay.
So Google Translate and then iTranslate, both free applications, both available on the Android. The web-based one will work on the PC. The Google Translate works on the PC.
Yeah, I have it on the PC as well.
Oh, perfect.
Yep.
Fantastic.
So that, it sounds, and this is really an interesting conversation. And I say, I listened to some of the transcription, a recording of Satya Nadella, who is the new CEO of Microsoft, at a coding conference. And this was the part of it that most impressed him of all the stuff that Microsoft did there. It was simultaneous translation between two individuals, one in the U.S. and one in Germany. Now, the person in the U.S. was speaking English, and it was being translated out into German. The other person could understand it, and they, in turn, were speaking German, and then the English translation was coming across the other side. Absolutely simultaneous. Now, some people who were listening in a chat room were saying, well, you know, grammatically there were some problems. That's okay. Machine language is always a challenge.
I'll
but can you,
what, you
imagine, folks, the ability to do that kind of thing?
And sometimes when I speak English to somebody just in English, my grammar isn't all
well,
that good.
Well, so. Once again, we got to thank William Shatner for that from Star Trek.
I heard they wanted to add that to Skype, though. So you could Skype someone, yes. You speak in, and it comes out in their language.
I bet. Well, because this is being was being displayed at a Microsoft event,
yeah.
And they were showing this capability they have, I would bet dollars or donut holes, it will be part of Skype.
It ain't going to be free, I can guarantee,
you
that.
I mean, is it available now?
You know something? I think it is. I will have to do a little more investigation to see if I can find out what that is, and I'll try to post that on our homepage.
Maybe in beta.
I think it may be in beta, but the point is the technology is there, and it's being developed.
I heard the video's there now. Sorry.
Well, you know, Foster, either way, goulash is goulash.
Yeah. Hey, Les, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank
a great question.
That is a great question. We got work to do. Homework homework assignment right here at the end of the show.
Lots of homework. Hey, folks, thank you so much for joining us here for today. And again, Mike Rometty, thank you for being here with your family and for the great work that you do with the frugalcomputerguy.com. Cal, we'll look forward to the big Apple announcements coming up this next week and see how close your predictions are.
Yes, sir.
And Ed, I'm going to try out that little Linux myself this
week. Right?
The rest of you out there, have a great weekend.
A
Gary, thanks
lover.
So much for being here.
Bye-bye.